Guys, showtime.
Okay, good morning. We are on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Welcome back, Mr. Brandwein. We're at the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. We're going to try to catch up today and cover through the end of Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. So again, we're starting the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. And over the next Daf and a quarter, I guess, you'd call it, we're going to talk about issues of Muktzah that we're very familiar with from this Masechta. And we're also going to talk a little about Tikkun Mana, building things or perfecting utensils on Yontif, and when that might be Mutter and when that might be Musser. So the Mishnah says, "Ein Shovrin es Acheres, vein Chotchin Haniyar, Latzlos Bo Moliach." So apparently on their barbecues, maybe we do this on our barbecues also, I don't know, if fish is kind of delicate. You don't want to overcook the fish. You don't want to burn it. So in order to cool down the cooking element, before they put the fish directly on the grill, they would put some kind of medium in between to cool it down and allow the cooking to take place at a little slower basis.
So cooled it or less, something like a blach?
What they did is in Shovrin es Acheres, they would take, let's say, for pottery, they would break up some pieces of pottery, they place that on the grill, and then put the fish on top of that. So there was a little space and a little bit of a break in between the hot grill top and the fire below it and the fish on top of the cheres. So you can't do that on Yontif, it says, because it's, the Mishnah says, because it's like making a kli. You're being misaki and mana here, so you can't break up pottery in order to create that separation between the fish and the grill. Vein chotchin es haniyar, another thing they might have used is paper. They would cut up pieces of paper, wet the paper, and wrap the fish in the paper, so you can't cut that paper on Yontif Litzlos Bo Moliach in order to cook your fish.
But if it's pre-done for that purpose,
yeah.
So it's not saying you can't do it, you just can't break.
You can't create that stuff on
top.
You can't create these utensils on Yontif, right. Good. Being Gorfin Tanor Vikirayim, and you're not allowed to sweep, let's say, for example, you have a cooking surface, an oven or a stove, and back then they would have all sorts of coals. If some of the plaster came off the wall and you want to now sweep that plaster away and fix the coals, you can't do that on Yontif. Aval mechabshin, but you can smooth it out. So you could do a kind of a lesser form of it, just smooth out the ashes and the coals on the bottom, but you can't do a major overhaul. You can't sweep out plaster that had fallen. That's what it says here. Vein makifin shtei chavios lislos alena sekedera. And you can't build a cooking surface by putting two barrels next to each other so that you could then put a pot on top. Let's say, for example, you had a fire down here and you want to put the pot over the fire, but you don't want to have it sitting directly on the fire. You want it elevated a little bit. So they would put a barrel here, and then they'd extend the pot over the tops of the barrels. You can't do that. And the reason is, as we'll see, is that it's similar to making an ohel. It's building a structure on Yontif. You're putting in walls and a ceiling.
Really?
Yeah.
So if you have a barbecue going,
yeah,
you're saying you can't, let's say, take two cans and instead make another shelf higher.
Right. Exactly. And put the pot.
Another shelf layer to cook on a higher level.
Right. Yeah, that clearly.
Those pieces prepared to. In order to
right. It's not a muktzah issue. It's an issue of
building.
Of assembling it in that way to make a structure. Wow. Now, clearly, this is not an Isser Daraisa. Binyan on a Daraisa level, we'll see, requires a real, a solid structure, but this is at least on a drabbanon. They were afraid that this would look like binyan and would lead people to be over the Isser of binyan. Okay. Vein somchin es hakadera bebikas, and you can't prop up a pot with a piece of wood. Here, this is a muktzah issue.
Right.
This is a muktzah issue. So you can't take a piece of wood that might have been set aside for fire, right? And Rashi points out here, this is based on the idea we're going to learn on the next Amud, which is that a stam piece of wood is set aside for hasaka, for fire. And at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that, remember generally with our machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, we have machlokas about whether something intended for one use, and then something happens on the course of Yontif and you want to use it for a different use. So Rabbi Shimon says that's not a problem of muktzah, but Rabbi Yehuda says that's a problem of muktzah. So at least according to that, here you have a piece of wood whose main intention was to be used for firewood. And now you want to use it to prop up a pot V'chein bedelos, or you want to use it to prop up a broken door somehow off its hinge or something. You want to use this piece of wood to prop it. So the Mishnah says you can't do that. On Yandif, Rashi explains this is according to that opinion, that something that has use for one thing, such as wood for firewood, can't be used for another purpose on Yantif, or Shabbos for that matter. Vein manhigen es habehema b'makal, b'yom tov. And then finally the Mishnah says you cannot guide an animal, drive an animal with a stick on Yantif. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Elazar the son of Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter. The Rashi points out at this point we're assuming it's because of a muktzah issue. The Gemara is going to clarify it's not really a muktzah issue. We'll see that in a moment. Okay, the Gemara now says, "My taima, what's the reason why you can't break up that pottery or rip the paper in order to create the surface better to cook the fish on in a more gentle way? To come a sakin mana, because you are creating a utensil that's not permitted on Yontif." Furthermore, the Mishnah said, "Vein gorfin tanor vikirain, you can't sweep out the plaster that had fallen into the coals on Yontif." Tani Rabbi Yechia bar Yosef kamed Rav Nachman vim iav shalafos elim ken gorfo mutter. That's only true in order to perfect it. But if you really can't cook or can't cook in any good way, unless you do this, then it's okay. Again, ochel nefesh trumps this malacha as a matter of this or of malacha on Yontif. It's only the Mishnah is only talking about a situation where that would be preferable to for you to sweep away that plaster. But if you can't do any other way, it would be permitted. And then we point out that generally speaking, we're makel on these things, meaning if it's the only way to get good food is to do it this way, we're going to be makel and we're going to allow you some leeway in preparing the coals in order to get good food on Yontif. As we'll see, debitu de Rabbi Chia, nafo la arecha b'tanur. So the daughter of Rabbi Chia, she was cooking and the brick fell off into the stovetop, biumatava on Yontif. Amar la Rabbi Chia, and Rabbi Chia was very quick to say to her, Chazi dana rifta malei sabina. He said, "I like good bread," meaning hinting to her, "You better do something, and it's permissible for you to fix up the, you know, sweep away the brick because we want to have good bread at Yontif, and that's the way I like it." Amar le Rava l'shemaya. So Rava said to his servant, "Toili uvza." They changed the girsa to get rid of the word bar. Cook me a duck. Vizdaher mecharucha, and be careful not to singe it, not to burn it. Another way to say, make sure the coals are not too piled too high, so they're not too close to the duck. Make sure it's properly smoothed out, so that everything the heat is even, and you don't end up singeing the duck. Another way of saying, we're making on these kind of things in order to get the best tasting food. Amar Ravino Ravashi, Ravina said to Ravashi, Amarlan Rav Acha mehutzal. Rav Acha from Hutzal told us, Demar, that you, Ravashi, sharkin le tanur biyumatava, that you in fact plaster the tanur and yantif. Apparently the way this kind of heating element worked was there was a fire underneath, and then kind of a cone that was above it that narrowed towards the top, and you would place the food towards the top of this cone. And if you were able to plaster the top to kind of seal in the heat, that would make it better. So he said that Rav Ashi permitted you to actually plaster the top on Yontif, which sounds a little surprising because that sounds like you're actually building or tikkun mana. That's kind of a very active perfection of this utensil.
It would only be temporary because it's like a Dutch oven.
Mm. Very good. It's only temporary.
It's only temporary because you're going to need to get the food.
Okay,
out.
But he was still concerned about the way that he was kind of molding plaster. Plaster, there's a problem of molding things of Anyantip. So he clarified, Ravashi, that is clarified, Anana rikta depras samchinan. I'm using clay from the pras, from a specific river that doesn't really require kneading. And since this is kind of pre-kneaded clay, then I was able to just slap it on without a problem, as opposed to other kind of clay from other sources where it would have required more active kneading. That would have been a malacha problem. And so he said that's why I was permitted to do it. And then he further clarifies, v'hani mi, or the Gemara clarifies, v'hani mi li ditsire me'esmol. That's only if you designated it from the day before. Again, we're talking about just picking up clay from a riverbed, that certainly would be a muktzah problem. You had never designated this clay, but if you designated this clay, made a little mark on it even, from the day before, that gets rid of the muksa problem. You're making it, and then you're allowed to use it. Amar avina v'ketama shari. V'kitma shari. So Ravina says that if you were trying to fashion the lip of this thing with ashes, that's okay. That's okay. There's not a problem with kneading, just like there's not a problem with kneading with this specific dirt from that river, there's not a problem with kneading with these ashes.
But it's still designated from before Yontif.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It'd have to be designated from before Yontif. Or maybe these ashes were already designated from Yontif because these are the ashes you were using for burn, you know, for baking anyway, for fueling the fire. Fine. Now we're going to talk about the part of the Mishnah which says you can't build this makeshift platform for cooking on. Vein makivin shtechavios. Amar Rav Nachman, avanim shel beis hakisei mutar gutzadadam biyom tov. So Rav Nachman says if you want to create a makeshift toilet, essentially, for sitting on, they would do is, I guess they didn't have porcelain toilets that we have, so they would just put a rock next to a rock with a gap in the middle, and that was a perfect way to create a makeshift toilet. So he says that's not a problem. You're allowed to place two rocks next to each other in order to create a toilet on Yontif. Esve Rabba Rav Nachman. So Rabba challenged Rav Nachman with the following: we have a brisa that says Ein Makifin Shtei Chavios. We have our Mishnah which says Ein Makifin Shtei Chavios Lusfos Alena Sekedera. How are you allowed to build this makeshift toilet? We just said you're not allowed to build this makeshift stove. We say you're not allowed to build a makeshift stove, and it's the same thing, right? You're not allowed to put the two barrels next to each other in order to put the pot on top. So why are you allowed to do it with the toilet? Malay shiny asam. He says no, that's different. Shiny asam, that's different. Mishum deka avid ola. In the stove situation, you were putting a pot on top of it, so you were essentially building a whole structure: two sides, two walls, and a roof. With this toilet situation, you're just placing two rocks there, and then you're sitting on it. That's not considered. That's not an olah.
Is this an olah method thing?
Define
that. Never mind.
Okay. Amar Rabba Zuta or Ravashi. So Rabba Zuta said to Ravashi, "O Miata, bana itztuba biyom tov dlo avid olah hachinami deshari." So Ravashi said, if those are your parameters, that if you that if you don't build a kind of hollow space, meaning it's two walls and a roof, then it's okay. Does that mean you're allowed to build a seat on Yontif? Meaning just placing bricks up in a straight way and just building a seat? Again, you're not building.
What I was going to ask is just now: can you put the two cans and put the pot in the space between the two cans without putting the shelf?
Right, with
above just place the pot itself on top of
the meaning the don't make a gap, just put
you leave making a gap but not making the roof the ohel portion
gap
above.
Is,
no, that what they said
gap
was the problem
enough to support the pot.
Yeah, there wasn't even a
not much of a gap.
There wasn't even a platform. It was the pot was acting as the top as the roof.
Yeah, but there was a shelf and then you were placing the pot on top of it.
Yeah, no. We're not even talking about a shelf. The pot itself is the shelf, and that's a problem because it looks like bingo.
Yeah, but if you sit down on two stones, you're on top of it.
Yes, but that's not building a structure because you're not part of a structure.
This is not allowed on Shabbos, though, right?
Was that
talking?
Just Yontif, the stones to make the toilet.
The stones to make a toilet. It says Biyom Tov. Why would it not be permitted on Shabbos?
Like, I'm wondering if it's specific to, like, a Yontif, and like, the dispensation for Yontif for being...
Well, I don't know. We haven't identified a problem with that makeshift toilet situation. So I would imagine... what Rav Nachman said is they are allowed to do it on Yontif. I'm not sure where that leaves you for Tilchot Shabbos.
I'm just curious.
Yeah. I'm not sure why it's permitted only on Yontif, or if it's permitted only on Yontif. Our Gemara doesn't address Shabbos. Fine. But at least now the question is, if those are your parameters, that building two sides and then a roof on top of a hollow area, that's what's prohibited. So then are you allowed to just build a straight structure that doesn't have any hollow area? Just build a seat. Just line up a bunch of bricks on top of each other to put so you could sit on it. So he said, so I'm really Hasam binyan keva asur Torah. Binyan arai lo asur Torah. So So he says, okay, let's take a step back, and he says, here's the rule. Here's how it works. Binyan Keva, if you had plastered this and built a permanent seat, so that would be one thing. That would be clearly Aser Min HaTorah. A makeshift utensil or makeshift kind of OL, that's not a problem. Well, Aser Torah. However, if Gazer Rabbanan on Binyan Arayim, you shouldn't Binyan Keva. But the rabbis prohibited a makeshift structure unto a permanent structure. V'hacha, Mishum, and so therefore, that's why building a seat, even though it doesn't have a hollow area, and even though it's not plastered together, that would be prohibited midrabanan because of exera atu abinyan keva. However, here with this, with respect to creating this toilet kind of situation, hachamishum kfodo lo gazer barabanan. The rabbis didn't extend their exera to a makeshift toilet because it's appropriate. You'd kind of need that.
Covenant of Brios. And the Rabbanan said, we'll prohibit it for this, but not for...
Exactly. They're not going to extend their prohibition to the toilet because that's something that you kind of need for Covenant of Brios. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda. Haima durasa milamala... Okay, so now we said that you're not allowed to build the two barrels and then put the pot on top. So now what do you do? If you need to kind of prop up a pot on Yantif over the fire, so what's the way to do it? So Amar Rav Yehuda, he's going to give us the Eitzah. He's going to tell us how to get around this problem. Haima durasa milamala lomata shari. If you build it from top down, that's permissible, meaning that's a shinoi. Normally, the way you prop something up is you put the barrel there, and then you put the thing on top. But if you don't normally build it from the top down. So he says, if you build it from the top down, that's the way to get around the problem. So you could kind of hold the pot up, and then kind of kick in a barrel, and then that's not a problem of vinyan. That's the way around this gzeir drabana. Haimadurasa miwamalu lamata shari, from building it from top down is permitted. Miwamata lamala usr, but building it from bottom up, that's where it's usr. And then he gives a few other examples where that rule applies. V'chen biyasa, the same thing is true if you are trying to roast an egg on top of the fire. If you were going to, again, put the two walls first and then balance the egg or place the egg on top, that's a problem. But if you kind of hold the egg up and then you kind of kick under the two sides on the egg, that'll be mutter. V'chein kedera, and the same thing is true by a pot, as we've been talking about. V'chein puria, the same thing is true by a bed. If you have a mattress that you need to support on stilts or on something that's going to hold the mattress up above the ground, you can't put the supports on first and then lay the mattress on top. That looks too much like binyan. What instead you have to do, and you might have to get a few friends to help you, you have to hold the mattress up and then kick the supports under it, and that's the way to do it. V'chein chavita, and the same is true if you're...
And that has nothing to do with ochel nefesh.
Nothing to do with ochel nefesh, right. This is...
the whole thing with the Bible is binyan.
I have a question.
Right.
I'm not sure it's a good question, but why are we allowing them to? Why are we allowing them to do this? Like, shouldn't it have been prepared before? Like, we talk about a lot about that. You know, like if you didn't prepare before, you're out of luck.
Yeah. Well, that's true only by machshir el chol nefesh. We say that's only true by where you're, or that's only true where there's a real problem. This is a gezeir drabanan to begin with, so their leniency is built into these gezeir drabanan. And again, this is all kind of consistent with our desire to make it easy for you to cook food on Yantif. We want you to be able to do so. So you might not have thought through every last piece. We want you to have a little leeway on Yantif itself to get things done.
And it could be also listed with the bed, that they need the space for their table.
Yeah, right.
And you flip it over and now it's your bed.
So right. The more flexibility, the better. Obviously, you're going to be able to enjoy Yantif the more you're able to do it. Ideally, you're right. You could kind of set everything up from beforehand, but there might be really reasons why you can't. You need the space. Yeah. So he says v'chein v'chavita, and it's also true with the storehouse. When you're piling the barrels one on top of another, you should not do it in a way that you're kind of building it in a normal structure way. You should do the top, build top down. Okay, then I should have a little two dots here because now it's quoting the next part of the Mishnah. V'chein somkin es hakedera bebikas v'chein bedelas. So we said here, this is a muktzah issue now we're talking about. You can't take a spare piece of wood that you had prepared for firewood and use it to prop up the pot. V'chein bedelas, and similarly for a door. So the Gemara says, bedelas salka daitach? How are you going to do this with a door. It just doesn't make sense. What I mean to say that you can't prop up a door, meaning if the door is broken or falling off its hinges, you can't prop it up with a piece of wood. That's a muktzah problem. Tanu Rabbanan, in somchenes hakadir bebikas v'chein hadalas. So now again, we quote a brisa. Lufisha lo nasnu eitzim elo ha'asaka. Because wood is typically prepared or set aside. What you contemplate using wood for is firewood. You didn't plan on using this wood to make a makeshift pot holder or pot propper upper or to use it for the door. And this is classic Rabbi Yehuda, right? Rabbi Yehuda has all along in our Masechta has been saying there's a muktzah problem when you have something that you contemplate using for one use and then something happens or you change your mind through the course of Yantif and you now you want to use this very same item for another use. Rabbi Yehuda says that's a problem of muktzah. Rabbi Shimon Matir, but Rabbi Shimon, as we've seen all along, says this is permissible. Good. Vein manhiganes ha-behema b'makal b'yom tov. That was the last part of our Mishnah. We said you can't guide the animal with a stick on Yantif. Rav Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Matir, he said it's mutter. So leim Rav Elazar, Rabbi Shimon kavua svirle. Probably the Gemara is suggesting that Rav Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, is just adopting his father's shita. Rabbi Shimon is the one who always says it's not muktzah. And so presumably, says the Gemara, what's happening in this Mishnah is there's a muktzah problem here. And Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanakhama, is holding you're not allowed to guide the animal with the stick because you didn't plan on using the stick for that purpose. And Rav Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, adopting the shita of his father, Rabbi Shimon, is saying it's not a problem of muktzah because we don't hold that's muktzah. The less like muktzah. Gemara says, "Whoa, no, don't go down that road." Beha, afilu Rabbi Shimon moda. Here, Rabbi Shimon himself, even Rabbi Shimon, is going to say it's aser mishum demechze kaman daazel chinga, because it looks like you're going to the marketplace. This isn't the muktzah problem altogether. The reason you're not allowed to guide your animal with a stick is because it looks like you are going to the marketplace, which is a problem of mekach chamemkar on yontif. It has nothing to do with muktzah at all. That's not what they're talking about. Okay. Chazara. So a chazara is like a bamboo spit, like a shish kebab, a disposable, sharp, narrow shish kebab thing you'd make shish kebabs on. So again, the situation here is you hadn't necessarily set aside this spit for that purpose. This is just in your pile of wood. You find a nice thin piece of wood and you want to use it as a shish kebab spit. So Rav Nachman asar. Rav Sheshes Shari. Rav Nachman said you're not allowed to do it. Rav Sheshes said you are allowed to do it. So the Gemara is going to analyze this in two possible ways. The first way is the following. Beretiva, if this spit was soaked wet through and through, everyone would agree. Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes would agree that you're not allowed to use this soaked spit on Yontif because you couldn't possibly have intended to use this on Yontif at all, because it's soaked through, you wouldn't have used it for firewood because it's soaked through. So what else would you have used it for? It's just a piece of scrap wood on the side, and so therefore it's clearly muktzah according to everyone. Keep pligi.
Is it soaked on purpose? Because that may be the purpose of
No, it wasn't soaked on purpose.
So it
wasn't.
Doesn't dry out.
No, we're talking about a situation where you didn't set this aside for use as a spit. Okay. It's just wet wood that was sitting in the ground, it was soaked. So the first way to analyze this machlokes Rav Nachman Rav Sheshes is to say that everyone agrees that it's aser if it's soaked. Ki pligi biabashta. They're arguing in a situation where you have found a dry piece of wood among your firewood. Manda aser, according to Rav Nachman, who said you cannot use it now to make a shish kebab on. Amar chalonasnu etzim el hasaka. So he's adopting the shita of Rav Shimon that we saw in our Mishnah, which is that firewood, its primary purpose and what you contemplated using what you contemplated using it for was firewood. And therefore, you can't now change your mind and use it for a different purpose. That's a problem of muktzah. Umandashari, and the Mandi Amr who said that it is mutter, Amrocha mali lutzlos bo, mali lutzlos begalachto, he rejects this idea and he says, what's the difference? If you had planned to use it as firewood underneath the food to fuel the fire and cook the fire, what's the difference if you use it for that or use it for a different, similar purpose for cooking the food, namely as a spit? He doesn't have this idea of locking in the usage for what you contemplated using it for on Yontif. Good. So that's one way of analyzing this machlokes Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. The other way is as follows. Ikada Amri, another way to read this, is Biabashta Koyamu Lopuyidashari. Everyone agrees that if this was a dry piece of bamboo, a dry spit of wood, so then it would be permissible because, again, you had contemplated using it for firewood. And so I guess this reading of the Gemara is adopting the sheet of Rav Shimon that we don't have a problem with you changing its usage. And therefore, since you had contemplated using it, it's not mukta, and you can use it now as a spit. Ki pligi beretivta. They're arguing in a situation where it was a soaked through piece of wood. Man da asar delochazi la asaka. The one who says asar of Nachman, he's saying it's asar because this couldn't possibly have been prepared for firewood because it's soaked through. And so rather it was just scrap wood that has no purpose, and therefore it's mukta, and that's why it's asar. Uman Deshari and Rav Sheshes, who says it's mutter, Amarocha, Hachazi Lahesagadol. He says, no, in fact, even though it might be soaked through, even soaked through wood has a utility on Yontif as firewood, because if it's put in a big, huge fire, it doesn't matter that it's soaked through. It'll very quickly dry out, and then it'll fuel the fire. So even that would be used as firewood, and therefore it's not usser, it's not mukta. And you could use it now for your spit in order to make your shish kebab. V'ilchasa, and then the Gemara is going to present the halacha. V'ilchasa yabash dashari. If it was dry, then it's mutter. It can be used for shish kebab. Retifta usser. If it's wet, it cannot be used. It cannot be used. Presumably because we're holding at this point, Rashi points out that the Gemara here is adopting the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi points out that even though we generally paskin in this situation like Rav Shimon, who says that you can change its usage, meaning ein mukta, that just because something was contemplated for one use doesn't mean that you can't now use it for a different use. So we normally paskin with Rav Shimon, but this Gemara is adopting the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why it's usser. That's why it's usser. Tosos has a different take on this, and he says, no, even Rabbi Shimon, who we paskin, Tosos says it's hard to understand, why would Ari Gemara be paskining like Rabbi Yehuda? We don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So Tosos says, no, even Rabbi Shimon, this is Tosos Hilchasa, if you look at the end, V'yeshomer da'filu Rabbi Shimon, de'nehi de'islei shenasnu eitzim shu la'asaka, ha'inu b'davar ha'roi la'asaka, avarativa in ruin la'asaka. This wet wood is not... wouldn't have been contemplated as used for firewood, and therefore it's completely mukta. You never had any indication that you...
It's like rogros or smukim.
What was that?
It's like rogros or smukim.
It's like rogros or smukim, exactly. It's completely... You never had imagined using it for anything. Fine. Darash Rava. Rava Darash in the following. Isho tikanis lodir ha'etzim, we told me an ud. A woman should not go into the storehouse of wood to take a ud. How do they translate ud? I think ud is kind of a poker, right. You would take a piece of this wood in order to push around the coals or push around the food, use it as a utensil, right? So again, this is a similar idea. You're taking a piece of wood that was part of the firewood pile and you're using it now as a utensil. Is that a muktzah problem? So again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, this would be a muktzah problem because you're taking something from one intended use for something else. And Rabbi Shimon would say it's not a problem because... once it's mukhan for one use, we give you leeway to use it even for something else. And furthermore, v'ud shenishbar aser lasiko b'yom tov. Similar idea. If the this is the opposite. Let's say, for example, you had a wooden utensil and it broke. Can you now use that wood as firewood, or is it mukta? Because again, you're changing the contemplated use. Again, v'ud shenishbar aser lasiko b'yom tov v'fishem asikin b'kelim. You can't use broken utensils in order for as firewood. So the Gemara says lememra,
because it doesn't function as a poker anymore, but it functions as
another clay,
as wood,
right?
But you can't.
But again, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you went into Yontif intending to use it as something, so now it's not mukta in that respect.
Right.
But Rabbi Yehuda says you can't now switch it to contemplated use. So, and it works both ways. Yeah, that's the surprising part. It works both ways, according to Rava. So the Gemara now says, "Lememra de Rava k'Rabbi Yehuda sfirale." Rava seems to be adopting the shita of Rabbi Yehuda that you can't change the contemplated use of a thing. It's muktzah. This is muktzah, right? V'hamroi Rava l'shmaya. Don't we know that Rava, in other contexts, told his servant, toili bar uvza, cook me or slaughter me a, or get me a duck, v'shadi me'ea l'shunra, and take its innards, the part that you're not going to eat, and feed it to the cat. If you remember, one of the classical cases of the Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon was the Neveva, Mechatzinus HaDuun Lufnei HaNeveva, right? That it was on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, I think, right? On the very bottom. Mechatzinus HaDuun Lufnei HaBehema V'Sei Neveva Lufnei HaKlovin. To take an animal that became a Neveva on Shav, on Yontif, can you now take... Now remember, that animal wasn't Muksa because you had intended to eat it for yourself. It had a contemplated use. It was not set. It was set aside for something, but now that what you had contemplated, all of a sudden the story changes because it now becomes a nevela, right? It's not kosher. So can you feed that to the klavim? So Rabbi Yehuda had said that's a problem because again you can't change something's contemplated use to something else. And so here Rava seems to have allowed you to take this duck and feed it, which was contemplated for eating for a human. And now its innards are now going to be fed to a cat. So it seems like Rava, and he said that's allowed. It seems like Rava was adopting the sheet of Rabbi Shimon there to allow that. And now our Gemara is saying that he's adopting the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara says, no. Hasam came into Mistrichem Yasmo Daite Luye. Everyone knows that once you slaughter the duck, you're going to be left with innards that are going to spoil. And so it was contemplated from the beginning that the duck would be slaughtered for human consumption. I'd be able to eat the meat on Yontif, but the innards, the stuff that I wouldn't eat, that I was going to give to the animal, to the cat, from the beginning. So this wasn't the situation where the intended use shifted.
Question. On the same subject of like waste products or things like that from the bird.
Yeah.
Right? We know we're going to eat the meat, right? There's still other stuff that's left called bone.
Yeah.
Is that considered muksa once it's completed or finished or whatever?
Yeah, so that was also covered in that. That was right before we talked about the mechatrin esaduim. We talked about magbiin me'ashulchan and somos uklipin. So that's a similar idea. I think that you get into the machlokas Rabbi Shimon or Yehuda there, where. Well, that's going to be something else.
It's commonly used for something, then Rabbi Shimon would say it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Just like these innards were going to be fed to the cat from the beginning, I guess he would say it's okay.
Legs, handle.
They definitely seem to like duck. You have a duck over here.
Yeah, there was
an easy duck bird.
If you commonly give the bones or whatever, let's say to your dog or to your cat,
then
it's common use, and then it would be...
You did think about that beforehand.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. He says, Noto Adam Kisa Mishel Afanav Lachzos Boshinov. Again, we're talking about a pile of firewood. That was your plan, to use this as firewood. And now you have a piece of meat stuck in your teeth, and you need a toothpick. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no problem, just take a little bit of splinter from the wood, and you can use it as a toothpick. Umegabev min hachatzer Umadlik. And not only that, but similarly, he says you can gather up wood from your chatzer, from your entire chatzer, and use it as firewood. The firewood didn't need to have been piled from before Yontif. He assumes that you kind of have your mind on all the firewood within your chatzer. Shekol mashi b'chatzer muchanu. Anything in your chatzer is muchan. It's contemplated for use as firewood from before Yontif. V'chachamim, so that's Rabbi Eliezer. V'chachamim omrim, Megabev Mishel Afanav Umadlik. So Chachamim say, no, you're limited to the firewood that's just in your right in front of you, where you're like line of sight. You can't go to your entire chatzer and take firewood. It's only firewood that you would have more directly have planned to use on Yontif. Rashi points out here that this Chacham Omrim, and our Gemara is going to assume this later on also, is arguing on both statements of Rabbi Eliezer. Again, Rabbi Eliezer had said, the second statement he said was that you can go to your entire chatzer and collect wood, and now the Chachamim is saying, though, you can only collect wood from the more immediate area of the chatzer. And the other statement Rabbi Eliezer had made was that you're allowed to take this and use it as a toothpick. And Rashi points out that the Chachamim are arguing on that as well, that you can't use wood for a toothpick. We'll get that again. We'll get into Rida Rishima and Amud Beis because it wasn't his designated purpose. Again, we're going to keep, we keep on meeting up with Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. It's kind of pervasive throughout the Masechta. Then the Mishnah says, "Ein motzien asaor lo min," so you can't create fire. This is the basis for not being able to light the fire. You're allowed to cook on Yontif, but you have to have it from a pre-existing flame. You're not allowed to start up fire. You're not allowed to strike a match, right? Lo min ha'etzim, not by rubbing together wood. Lo min ha'avanim, not by striking against each other rocks. Lo min ha'afar, and not by, however they used to make it from afar. Rashi says it's a very hard ground, and somehow they'd be able to create sparks from there. Vloma min ha'ra'afim, and not from these other materials. Vloma ha'mayim, you're not allowed to create fire from water. How do you create fire from water? I think it's a magnifying glass kind of situation. So you have like a clear bowl, and the water is in the bowl, and you kind of position it so the sun casts in a way, and then you burn your way. Yeah, the kind, right. Fine, so you're not allowed to create fire on Yontif. Vein melabnin es ha'ra'afim witzlos bahen, you're not allowed to... I guess blowtorch. You're not allowed. They didn't have blowtorches back then, but you're not allowed to take these tiles and what that.
Yeah.
Whatever. You're not allowed to heat up intensely. Heat these tiles in order to cook on them. You're not allowed to do that. We'll see later on what that means. Okay. The Gemara says Amar Rav Yehuda. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says the following: Ochle behema, ein bahen mishum tikun klei. Something that is like hay, for example, that you'd feed to your horses, stuff that you'd feed to your animals, you don't have to worry about the problem of making a kli from them. If you wanted to make a toothpick out of some hay, that's not a problem. You could cut off the hay, you could even cut it off in a, you know, break it in a certain way so that you get a good sharp edge and that you can use it as a toothpick. That's not a problem of tikkun kli. The Rishonim explain here, it's because these are not permanent things. These ochlei behema, you know, if it's animal food we're talking about, it's probably kind of relatively soft, and it's not going to last very long. So by you fashioning an item out of hay, you're not making a permanent kli. You're making just a real, you know, just a temporary thing that you're going to use to clean out your teeth. So that's not a problem of tikkun kli. That's Rav Yehuda's statement. Eisvei Rav Kana or Rav Yehuda. So Rav Kana challenged Rav Yehuda with the following braisa. A tosefta, metaltolin atse besamim lahariach behen. You can move branches, that are of a certain spice, in order to smell them. Ulahanif behem lachoa, and to wave them in front of a sick person. Somehow that was therapeutic to take nice smelling branches and wave them in front of a sick person. Umolulo, you can kind of rub them in your fingers to try to get the perfume out of them, to try to get the smell out of them. Umeriachbo, and you can smell them. Veloyik temenu la riachbo, but you should not cut them. You should not kind of snap them so that in a way that gets the reach out of it. Vim katmo pateravo aser. And if you did break it in order to elicit the smell from it, so it's only an iser drabanan. You're not over, you know, you're not chayav karmel chadas, you're not chayav in terms of hilchos Shabbos. Lachsos boshinov, however, if you break this branch in order to make a kli out of it, in order to make a utensil such as a toothpick in order to clean your teeth, lo yaktimenu, that you should not, you may not break it in order to make a toothpick. Vim katmo chayev chatas, and if you do, that's a serious no-no. It's an iser doraisa, and you're chayev a karban chatas for doing that. So that's a serious challenge to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda just said that a small piece of hay, a small branch that would normally be fed to an animal, you're allowed to do whatever you want with it. You're allowed to make a kli. You're allowed to make a toothpick out of it. And here we have a tosefta that's saying not only are you not allowed to eat midrabanan, it's a chiyav chata, it's a karma, there's a chiyav chayav chatas on it. It's an iser daraisa to make a toothpick out of this stick.
This stick is also Michael Behemoth?
Yeah, I guess. So what we're going to see in a moment, he's going to clarify that. Okay. So Amar Leis, Rav Yehuda answers, he says, Hashta patra vo aser kakashili. Had you even brought a challenge to me from a tosefta or from a braisa that said that it's an iser drabanan, that would have been a challenge to me. Chayav chatas mi boy. So he's kind of all nervous. You're now bringing a brisa that says it's an iser daraisa. That's a serious challenge to me. I'm in big trouble here. So he says, Ella, no. You have to understand, put it in perspective. Ella kitanya, that brisa that you just quoted me, that tosefta, hayi bekashtin, that's talking about thicker sticks, harder sticks. I was just talking about kind of soft hay. So for soft hay, you could just break a piece off, you could break it and you could use it as a toothpick. Like that's not a problem floss. At all. Like floss, exactly. All right. But when we're talking about, the tosefta is talking about a stick, a harder piece of wood, that's a real problem of misaken mana, of a tikkun kli, and that's where it's going to be a chai of carbon chatas if you make a toothpick out of that. So the Gemara then says, kashim b'nei melila ninu. In that same tosefta, we said that you can molel it. You can kind of rub it in your fingers to break it down and get the perfume out of it, get the smell out of it.
It's very hard.
But if we're talking about a hard stick, it's hard to understand. That's what's that talking about? So they reread it and they say, Chisur Mechsra Vachi Katani. You have to reread the Brisa as follows. Molo Umeriachbo. You can take an item that's a little softer and you can move it in your fingers, you could rub it in your fingers and get the perfume out of it and smell it. Kotmo Umeriachbo, and you can break it, for that matter, and smell it. But med demaramamurim, that's only barachin, only by a soft stick. Like hay, or you know, something soft like that. Avabakashim, but if it's something that's hard, lo yaktimenu, then you should not break it. Vim katmo, and if you did break it, patra avalasar, if it's an iser derabanan, lachzos boshinov, and if you're trying to get a toothpick out of this thing, lo yaktimenu, you should not break it to make a toothpick. Vim katmo chayev chatas, then is a serious, that's a serious iser, and you are chayev chatas because you actually made a utensil out of a hard stick. And then similarly, we have two similar braises where we're going to resolve it in the same way. Tani chada kotmo meriachbo. One braise says you are allowed to break it and smell it. V'tan yidach lo yiktmenu ariachbo. Another braise says you're not allowed to cut a stick in order to smell it. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav Chisda, Okasha. They're not in contradiction to each other. Habarachin, habakashin. One's talking about where it's soft. One's talking about where it's hard. Where it's hard, that's where you have a problem. You're not allowed to break it in order to get the smell. Maskevor of Acha Bar Yaakov. So Rav Acha Bar Yaakov challenged what we're saying based on the following. Bekashin amaylo. Why are you not allowed to break a hard stick and make a utensil out of it? Why not? Maishnami had the time. Why is it different from the following Mishnah in Shabbos, which says, Shover Adam Esachavis, Lechol Mimenu Grogros. You're allowed to break a barrel in order to eat the food inside the barrel. Ubovajli is kaving lasas kli. Right? We do this all the time on Shabbos. You are allowed to open a package with food inside on Shabbos, not a problem, as long as you don't make a kli. So we have, you know, vast discussions about what's a kli and what's allowed and what's not allowed. But this is the basis for it. The basic rule is you're allowed to open up a container, you're allowed to break something in order to get food, as long as you don't make a kli. And so Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is asking, why are you not allowed to break the stick in order to get the perfume, to get the smell? Apparently it's not a problem as long as you don't do it in a way that's making a kli. V'yod harava baravada v'ravin baravada. Both these Amoraim, Damri Tarvayu, Kihavyan Be Rav Yehuda, when we were in the house of Rav Yehuda, he would break sticks all the time, meaning many sticks. Afagav Dechazia Wikitata Dinargi Vichatsini. Even though these sticks, if you had broken them in a more specific way, they could, in theory, make handles for jugs or handles for axes, and yet he allowed you to break these sticks. So we seem to have two conflicting notions here among these braises and among these practices of the Amoraim. One is that for a hard stick you're not allowed to break it, and one is that you are allowed to break it. So how do you explain this? So the Gemara is going to answer and says, Lokasha, we're talking about a machlokas tanaim at the heart of this. Harav Elazar, Harabanan. This is a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan. Titania. Rabbi Eliezer, and again, this goes back to our Mishnah, right? Rabbi Eliezer, not Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer. The time, yes, we have a brisa. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, noto adam kisam mishel afanav, lachzos boshinav. Rabbi Eliezer says you're allowed to pick up a piece of wood in order to make it into a toothpick to clean out your teeth. The Chachamim Omrim lo yitol elomei avos shel behema. You're not allowed to, says the Chachamim, you're not allowed to pick up a piece of wood in order to do this. You're only allowed to take something that's already kind of a small piece of wood from a trough of a behema. Vishavin, they both agree, shel yiktemenu, that you should not break it. Everyone agrees you should not break a piece of wood. Vim kat melachos boshinav, v'vtoch bo hadelas b'shogig b'shab, hadelas b'shogig, b'shabes chayev chatas, what do you read? B'shogig b'shabes chayev chatas, mezit b'yom tov segos arbaim. Yeah. So, if you do intentionally take this hard piece of wood in order to make a utensil like a toothpick for your teeth, and or some other utensils such as to make it a doorknob, a door opener. So on Shabbos, if you did it by accident, you're chayev chatas. B'mezid b'yom tov soveg as arbaim. On yontif, you get lashes. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Eliezer says this is a real iser d'oraisa. You're not allowed to do it. V'chachamim romrin echad zeh v'echad zeh eino elo mishum shvus. It's only an iser drabanan on Shabbos yontif. It's only an iser drabanan. So Rabbi Eliezer dekamar hasam chayev chatas. So now we're going to compare the situation by making this toothpick or making a kli to the situation that we've been talking about, which is to break a stick in order to get the scent from it. So Rabbi Eliezer dekamar hasam. Rabbi Eliezer holds there by the kli that chayev chatas, that it's a real iser daraisa. So hacha, in order to get the scent from it, pater avol aser. It's only an iser drabanan. You're not allowed to break the stick in order to get the scent. Rabbanan, but the rabbis, the kamri hasam pater aval aser, the rabbis who said if you're breaking the stick in order to make a toothpick, to make a kli, that is an iser drabanan, hacha mutro chatchila. In order to break it, in order to just get a little scent, that would be absolutely heter gomer. You'd be allowed to do that even on chatchila. Good. So that's how we're explaining these kind of divergent views as to whether or not you're allowed to break the stick in order to get the smell from it. If you hold like Rav Eliezer, so then you're not allowed to do it midrabanan. If you hold like the Chachamim, you are allowed to do it even in Chatzchila. The Gemara then challenges us and says, "V'leslu Rav Eliezer hadetanan." Does Rav Eliezer not know about their not hold of the Mishnah that says Shover adam esachaves lechol minu gorgeras v'vashlo yiskavin lasas kli? Right, the same challenge we brought above. You're allowed to open up this kli in order to get food. So if Rabbi Eliezer holds that you're so stringent as to hold that you are not allowed to break it in order to get a scent, what does he do with this Mishnah, which seems to be mako enough to say that you're allowed to break something in order to get at the food? Why is that any better? So the Gemara answers, Amravashi kitanya hib mustaki. That's only true where that whole thing was kind of only being held together by some weak, I don't know, what do they translate mustaki? Some like sraf shel eitz, some kind of putty, I don't know, like
strong.
What is it? It's a like a syrup of the a syrup, or I don't know, some very weak thing that's holding it together. And therefore,
it's called a resin.
Okay, so yeah, it's like glue from a tree. So it's not very strong, and therefore the whole thing is not being held together very strong altogether. Let's just get to the next two dots. Megavid min achatzer. So we talked about picking up from the collecting from the chatzer for firewood. Tanur rabbanan megavid min achatzer umadlik shkomash bechatzer muchanu. So consistent with that shita in our Mishnah, you're allowed to collect firewood from your chatzer, and you're allowed to put that into the fire because it's all muchan, it's not muksa. You would contemplate it before yontif to use that all as firewood, as long as you don't make it into piles, right? Rabbi Shimon Mati, Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter. Ma'ikam ufugay. What are they arguing about? Mar sever mechse de kamachnif lamachar uyuma achrina. By making piles, according to the Tanakhama, it seems like you're preparing it.
How much?
No, I'm taking No, we're good. Thank you. By making piles, it looks like you're preparing firewood not just for today, but for tomorrow, for the next day. You're kind of doing it on a false, much greater scale. That's a problem. Rabbi Shimon, who says this is mutter, says, no. Everyone sees that you have a pot waiting. You're about to put your cholent onto this firewood. And so that shows that what you're, even though you're making it into piles, you're doing it just for today's use, because everyone watching sees that you're doing it just for today. And then finally, in Motzina Saor, we said you're not allowed to light a fire. You're not allowed to create a fire, even though you're allowed to cook. My time we shouldn't become moed v'yom tov. This is a problem because it's moed. It's creating something out of nothing, and that's a problem of Noah. You know, this I guess is similar Noah to what we had learned in the beginning of the Sechta. Okay, we'll stop there. I think we did it. We covered our lost ground.
So. Yes.
Okay.
Did you watch?
I watched. Yeah. Okay. There, you have Mizum.